here we are. We're the girls in the house. So, Lord, can you teach us how to do life as women? Because we're living in your world, and it's a world that's turned upside down. But God, through the grace of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, gospel means good news and promises of God. He says, you know what, child? You can walk as a daughter on the earth, and you can take this crazy, crazy world that you're living in, and in my kingdom and with my word and by faith, you can turn it right side up, and you can change your family, and you can change your world. And that's what we're about here. So today I'm going to repeat a workshop that I did. There was probably about 30 of you in my workshop. And it's been such a popular topic that I thought I need to teach it to all of you. And so today we're going to look at, and the title of today's message is, how to be wise with the men in your world. Because whether you're married or whether you're single, you are living on a planet that have men. Can I get a witness in the house? So you have fathers, you have brothers, you have uncles, you have sons, you have husbands, you have leaders over you that are men, you have bosses, you have pastors, you have teachers, you have a lot of men in your life. How many of you would say that's a true statement? Okay, now I didn't see every hand go up. So how many of you are living in a world where there are no men in your life? Because if you are, you're living on a different planet than I am. Because whether you're married or single, they're there. All we have to do is walk out that door. We're going to find a couple. I bet if we open our eyes, we can spot a couple. Are there any in here? Ah, do I see one up there? No? No, no men. Okay, good. And you know, the Lord says, get wisdom, get understanding, apply wisdom to your life. And God doesn't want me to walk through this planet as this dumb blonde nana. He wants me to be a savvy woman. He wants me to understand my world and what's going on so that no matter what stage of life I'm in, whether I'm an older woman like I am or whether I'm a younger woman like my daughter Jess or whether you're middle-aged, that I understand some things and I apply that understanding in my life, and that's called wisdom. The Word of God says in Proverbs that we are to gather knowledge, get the facts. Then it says get understanding. Understanding is when you take the facts and you figure out what they mean. It's called interpreting the facts. And wisdom is when you take understanding and you apply it in your life for that situation. And God wants us to be wise women. So today we're going to look at a message about loving the men in our lives, respecting the men in our lives, how to be wise with the men in your world. And I'm going to be looking at a book that actually I would recommend we need to get it in the bookstore. Men are like waffles and women are like spaghetti. And we're going to be looking at the biological differences and how God wired us. And then what to do with these biological differences and how to function with the men, and whether they be husbands or brothers or fathers or uncles or friends or sons, how to function wisely as a woman of God in their world, because their world, as far as they're concerned, really belongs to them. Has anybody noticed that? How many of you have heard it's a man's world? Yeah. Girls rule, boys drool. I know we all said that when we were young on the playground, but it's not true. So I think we have handouts. Do we have handouts, Sarita? Are they on the tables? And is the video working? So can we have some fun today? You want to have some fun? Okay, well, I went online and I did some homework. And I downloaded some things about men and women. Now, this is biological, physiological fact, all right? This is fact. This is not something that I am making up. This is how we are wired. Now, before we go there, I just want to remind you that God has two verses in Isaiah 32 to describe his sons. He, however, has 21 verses in Proverbs 31 to describe his daughters. You, my darlings, are far more complicated than the men. So in Isaiah 32, just so that you can see it again, and it's a verse you ought to underline, because if you're married, wanting to be married, or if you have a son and want to raise him to be a godly man, this is God's description of him. Behold, a king will reign in righteousness, speaking of Messiah, Jesus Christ, Messiah King. And princes will rule with justice. Those are his sons. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind, a cover from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. God says, the men that I have raised up and that carry my nature when I rule, and he is ruling in the lives of our husbands, our sons, and our fathers and our brothers, and if he's not, well, they're just working on their testimony, because if you've got a praying mom in the house, they don't have a choice. A man will be as a hiding place from the wind. God has made men to be protectors. They are bigger than we are. They have a greater muscle mass than we have. We are known as the weaker vessel, even though we are not weaker in spirit. Physiologically, we are not as strong as men. I know you don't want to hear that, but just go ahead and see what happens when you try to bench press with your husband. And girls, if you can bench press more than your husband, then you need to get him in a gym. God has given them a greater muscle mass on purpose. Why? Because he knew in the fall that they were going to have to protect us from the enemy. All right? It says that a man will be as a cover from the tempest. A tempest is a storm. When the storms of life come, God has ordained that his princes, his men of God, should cover and overarch their women, daughters, mothers, if they're widows, wives, sisters, if they have no covering, that they overarch them and they are a covering. They are like a house you can go to and be protected when the storms blow through the life that you're going to live, and you will have storms. It says here, as rivers of water in a dry place. Have you ever been thirsty? We haven't, because we don't know what it's like to live in a desert without water. But the Israelites did. They lived in desert lands, and there were not springs, and there were not rivers everywhere. They couldn't turn a faucet on. So if you didn't know where the next watering hole was, when you traveled, you could die of thirst. Very, very much of a reality in the Hebrew mind. As rivers of water in a dry place. When you are dying of thirst and there is no water left, and you know if you don't get some liquid in you, you're not going to make it. God says, my sons are like that river. When you are absolutely needing a drink to sustain your life, your men are rivers of water in a dry place. And the plan of God for our men is for them to rise up and have rivers of living water flowing in them and out of them to water the family and to water the earth and to lead us. It's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. Now, maybe you're not seeing any of this in your men. That's okay. It's subject to change. And the last thing is a shadow of a great rock in a weary land. See, these are all things that God says, my princes will rule like this. They are like air conditioning. When you are so hot that you can't do a thing, here comes the man of God. And he's like shade. And he's like a refreshing. And he's like not just protection, not just life-giving water, but he's actually going to shade you so that you are underneath the covering of this amazing Son of God. Now, I know that this is the ideal. We all live with a reality. Between the ideal and the reality, there's a vast space. However, we can go to Proverbs 31 and we can read the reality of us, and between the ideal and the reality, there is a vast space. I guess what I want to say is, and we've read Proverbs 31, I'm not going to go, there's too many verses to read, but I am going to just go with two verses. Verse 10 in Proverbs 31, who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. Rubies are far more valuable than diamonds, by the way. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. And then we go into this amazing woman of God and all the things that she does. She brings heaven to earth. She's an entrepreneur. She's an intercessor. She has businesses. She's savvy. She's smart. She smiles at her future. She knows how to bring salvation to her household. She knows how to watch over her home. She's the watchman. The husband is the protector, the provider. He's the shadow. He's the water. But she, my darlings, is the one that brings heaven to earth in the home. Therefore, you can't say one is greater than another. We are just vastly different. Now, we're going to look today at the differences biologically between men and women. Now, the biology speaks of the spirituality. Because everything says something. Everything means something. In the Hebrew, everything meant something. Every letter, every number in Hebrew meant something. The number 40 that you see so much of, 40 days of fasting, means something in the Hebrew. The number 10 means something in the Hebrew. Every number means something. The number 6, the number 7. You'll find in Revelation that the Antichrist has said that it is the number of man, 666. Why is that? Because man has a number, the number 6. Why is that? Because man was created on the sixth day. Everything says something. Everything. And the Old Testament is shadows and types of the truths of the New Testament. So that's why we go to the Old Testament for revelation. Are you with me? So when God made us, He made us to be vastly different. So I want to just begin to tell you the differences between the amazing things that you and I are. So let's look at men. Men are like waffles. Can I have a picture of a waffle? Where's my waffle? Do you see that in a waffle there are compartments? Do you see that? Now, I know we think that's for the syrup and the butter. But if you could just for a moment pretend that that is your husband's brain, your father's brain, your son's brain, your male friend's brain. Because men actually are wired to compartmentalize life. We, on the other hand, are like a plate of spaghetti. Now, do you see what that spaghetti is doing? What's it doing? It's all over the place, but what is it doing? It's touching everything. It's touching every part of that plate. It's intertwining, it's weaving, it's going everywhere. And so right there, you can see that men and women are different. Now, I just want to show you a little video, I think, that explains this very aptly by a pastor. And if we can dim the lights and if we can show this video. Now, he doesn't say women's brains are like spaghetti. He calls them wires, but it's the same concept. So let's see what he has to say. Are you ready?
Discussing men's brains, women's brains, and how they're very different from each other. Now, I want to start with men's brains. All right. Now, men's brains are very unique. Men's brains are made up of little boxes. And we have a box for everything. We've got a box for the car. We've got a box for the money. We've got a box for the job. We've got a box for you. We've got a box for the kids. We've got a box for your mother somewhere in the basement. We got boxes everywhere. And the rule is, the boxes don't touch. When a man discusses a particular subject, we go to that particular box. We pull that box out. We open the box. We discuss only what is in that box. All right? And then we close the box and put it away, being very, very careful not to touch any other boxes.
Yeah.
for men's brains. Women's brains are made up of a big ball of wire. And everything is connected to everything. Money's connected to the car, and the car's connected to your job, and your kids are connected to your mother, and everything's connected to everything. And it's like... it's like the internet superhighway. And it's all driven by energy that we call emotion. It's one of the reasons why women tend to remember everything. Because if you take an event and you connect it to an emotion, it burns in your memory and you can remember it forever. The same thing happens for men. It just doesn't happen very often because, quite frankly, we don't care. Women tend to care about everything. And she just loves it. Okay? Now, men, we have a box in our brain that most women are not aware of. This particular box has nothing in it. In fact, we call it the nothing box. And of all the boxes a man has in his brain, the nothing box is our favorite box. If a man has a chance, he'll go to his nothing box every time. That's why a man can do something seemingly completely brain dead for hours on end. You know, like fishing. Now, they've actually measured this. The University of Pennsylvania a couple of years ago did a study and discovered that men have the ability to think about absolutely nothing and still breathe. You know, they connected all the wires and stuff like that, watched the brain activity, and then all of a sudden, he's...
I think he's dead!
Huh? You know? Women can't do it! They can't do it! Their minds never stop! And they don't understand the nothing box! And it drives them crazy! Because nothing drives a woman more crazy or makes her feel more irritated than to witness a man doing nothing!
I apologize for the sound, but that's very typical because men actually have that part of the brain functioning better than we do, and they could have figured out what was wrong. But there you see that there are vast differences between our biology and how we're wired. And I've told you this many, many times, but women are able to function using both sides of their brains. We have twice the neural connectors that men have using both sides of our brain. We have what you would call an internet superhighway. You can function on both sides of your brain, whereas a man has compartments. He shuts down one compartment, and he looks at another compartment. So let me just give you some facts about men. First of all, men are problem solvers. They're compartmentalizing life. Women, on the other hand, are connectors, and we are connecting the pieces of life. Now, doesn't that make sense? Because God's description just said that the sons, the princes, will rule with Messiah, and they were provider, protector, they were refreshing, they were shield, shade in a storm. They were water in a dry land. They needed to be able to solve problems in a very, very real way, whereas God's woman actually runs the world. F, the world begins in the home. And that's exactly where the world begins. It's called family. And you and I have been called by God to hold the family in our hands. It's an amazing thing. So let me just give you some ideas and some things about, and on your handouts, you can go home and read this. This is the differences between men, 10 big differences between men and women's brains, and it will describe it to you. Emotions, brain side, language, reaction to stress, mathematical abilities, left brain, right brain, how we even function in pain. We perceive pain differently. Men do not feel the pain that a woman feels internally. Our spatial ability. A man can actually see an object, rotate an object, and have depth on the inside of his brain. We do not have that piece of our brain. Now, this is a normal functioning female brain. I know there's exceptions, and some of you are absolutely brilliant in science and math, and I'm just so proud of you. But most women aren't connected to a GPS system when they're born. They didn't get that chip. How many of you need landmarks to find where you're going? When we give directions, we don't say north, south, east, and west. We say right and left. And on the corner, there's a grocery store. On the mall is over here. And now, something miraculous happens when we're at a mall. We know exactly where the stores are. We know where to find that thing. And we have a homing device in that arena. So we did get that. Our brain size is not as large as a man's. Our susceptibility to disorder. I mean, men and women have very, very different susceptibilities. We are actually biologically more susceptible to depression because our emotion chip is stronger than a man's. Again, men compartmentalize. We touch everything. So you have actually more sensory perception going through your brain than your husband or your father or your brother or your son has. Now, let's just look at a couple of things about men being like waffles. Now, he covered a lot of it, but I just want to go over it. Is this all right? Because if we understand how men function, then we can actually communicate with them and get things done with them that we need to get done, and we won't frustrate them, and we won't be so frustrated. Men process life in boxes. They're separate holding spaces. They have room for one issue and one issue only. Now, they might argue that with you, but that's the facts. That is why when you interrupt your husband and he's doing something where it wouldn't bother you at all, it absolutely ticks them off because they're in their box. And they don't want to be in your box. They want to be in their box. That's where they're at. And for them to get to another box, they have to stop and they have to find the box. Typically, men live in one box at a time. Men are called problem solvers by nature. They enter a box, they size up the problem, and they formulate a solution. That is why when you talk to a man with, and you have a problem or you have a challenge, they are going to size up what you say and they are going to come up with a solution. When you don't want a solution, you just want them to hear you. Has anybody experienced that with fathers or brothers or friends or husbands? In careers, they consider what it will take to be successful, and they focus on that. In communication, they look for the bottom line, and they want to get there as quickly as possible. They want headlines. They do not want rabbit tails and details. Why? Because those are other boxes, and they can't get there as fast as we can. In decision-making, they look for an approach they can buy and apply, and they do it as often as possible. If it's not broken, why fix it? A man will strategically organize his boxes and spend most of the time in the ones he can succeed in because God's called him to succeed, and he doesn't like boxes of failure. This is fascinating. They do have a wordless box. I know we find that hard to believe, but men actually can have a wordless box. They contain memories of the past, pleasant experiences, but these thoughts do not turn into words. A man is able to be quite happy in these wordless boxes because the memories he carries in them have significant meaning to him. The problem is that he cannot communicate these experiences to others, and so the wife may feel left out, or your sons may have memories and great memories, but these boxes that they're in, they're wordless, and they really can't verbalize to you what they're thinking. That's why when you ask a man, what's he thinking, and he says nothing, he means nothing. He absolutely means nothing. Men have empty boxes in the average man's waffle that does contain no words or thoughts. These boxes are blank. They're like a white sheet of paper. Now, a man, a pastor wrote this, okay, a doctor. So we're not bashing men at all here. We love them and we admire them greatly. Amazingly, his wife always seems to notice when he's in park. He's in that blank box. She observes his blank look and then relaxed posture he's taken on the couch. She assumes this is a good time to talk as he's so relaxed. And she invariably asks, what are you thinking, sweetheart? Now, I want to read you from the book, page 15, because I think this is Jim and Debbie anyway. I don't know if this is you and your family. Talking about the blank boxes. This often causes significant stress for couples because while she's making all the connections, he's frantically jumping boxes trying to keep up with the conversation. The man's eyes are rolling back in his head while a tidal wave of information is swallowing him up. When she's done, she feels better and he's overwhelmed. The conversation might look something like this. Joan gets home and says, honey, how was your day? I had a good day today. We just committed to a new educational wing at the university. I've been asked to oversee the budget. I'm so excited that they didn't rule me out because I'm a woman. You know, women have been fighting for a place in society for decades, and it's good to see so much progress being made. I think it's neat that you treat the women who work for you with such respect. Our daughter is so lucky to have you for a dad. Did you remember that Susie has a soccer game tonight? I think it's important we are there because the Johnsons are going to be there, and I really want you to meet them. Susie and Bethany are getting to be good friends, and I think we should get to know her parents well. As Joan is exploring the conversation, Dan is getting lost. He has no idea what the budget at the university has to do with their daughter's soccer game and their need to have a friendship with the Johnsons. He admires her ability to connect seemingly unrelated thoughts, but he just can't seem to understand how she does it. One of the characteristics that creates havoc in the male-female interaction is the fact that most men have boxes that have no words. There are thoughts in these boxes about the past, their work, and pleasant experiences, but these thoughts do not turn into words. A man is able to be quite happy in these wordless boxes because the memories he carries in them have significant meaning. The problem is he cannot communicate these experiences to others, and so his wife may feel left out. Not all the wordless boxes have thoughts, however. There are actually boxes in the average man's waffle that contains no words and no thoughts. These boxes are just as blank as a white sheet of paper. They are empty. To help relieve stress in his life, he will park in these boxes to relax. Amazingly, his wife always seems to notice when he's in park. She observes his blank look and then the relaxed posture he's taken on the couch. She assumes this is a good time to talk, so he's relaxed, and she invariably says, what are you thinking, sweetheart? He immediately panics because he knows if he tells the truth, she'll think he's lying. She cannot imagine a moment without words in her mind. If he says nothing, she thinks he's hiding something and he's afraid to talk about it. She becomes instantly curious and mildly suspicious. Not wanting to disappoint his wife, his eyes start darting back and forth, hoping to find some box in close proximity that has words in it. If he finds a box of words quickly, he will engage his wife in conversation, and both will feel good about the relationship. If he's slow in finding words, her suspicion fails to be extinguished. He feels a sense of failure. He desperately wants to explain to his wife that he sometimes just goes blank. Nothing's wrong. Nothing's in denial. Nothing's being hidden. This is just the way he's been his whole life. She cannot imagine it. These blank boxes have an interesting characteristic that often gets in the way of meaningful conversation. In the middle of a conversation, a man will periodically be moving from one box to another, and in between the boxes of words he passes through, one of them could be a blank box. Right in the middle of the conversation, he goes silent. He knows he should have said something, but he's blank. He knows it's awkward to go blank in the middle of a thought, but no amount of effort has ever made it go away. It's an awkwardness he must live with and hope his wife adapts to it. I don't know what it is, but my husband can lay down on a couch. We have a feather-stuffed huge family sofa. It's old. I mean, it's a mess, but it's so comfortable. It's like you sink into it. And as the moment Jim gets on that couch, puts a pillow under his head, and we're watching a movie or something, you know, and I'm just getting into the movie. And he's quiet because I think he's watching the movie, and my eyes are on the movie. And then I'll just say something and no answer. And there he is, eyes glazed over, saying nothing, or he's sleeping. Why is it a man can take a 10-minute nap, but you can't? Have any of you ever experienced that? How many of you can just lay down for 10 minutes, wake up refreshed as if you've been, you know, are there women in here that can do that? Okay, you are not the norm. Why? Because, my darlings, we have spaghetti, and it's going everywhere all the time. Women process life more like a plate of pasta. Every noodle is touching another noodle. The noodles intersect a lot other noodles, just like every thought and issue is connected to every other thought and issue in some way. You go deep. The men cannot keep up with us. They have no idea how deep we're going because we would have to find all of their boxes to connect them to our spaghetti. And you can't have waffles and spaghetti on the same plate. Life is compartmentalized for men, but women actually are connectors. And we problem solve in a completely different way. We are far more concerned with relationships and making everybody happy. We want everybody to get along. We can understand why this happened over here because there's probably 50 other reasons and things and issues that all made that happen. Whereas a man is a problem solver. He's in his box. He's going to formulate. He's going to listen to the facts, formulate a solution, and go after it. It's a huge, huge difference. And yet, here's God that said to us, I'm giving you the family. I'm giving you the ability to raise children, to birth life, and to be that helper companion to that amazing man that I'm giving you as a gift to, because it's not good that Adam should be alone. She will consistently need to talk things out. She will link together the logical, emotional, relational, and spiritual aspects of all the issues as she sees them. And then the answer will bubble to the surface, and she's readily accepting it. How many times has that happened to you? If you take a step back, and you think about what's happening, and you're thinking, you have no blank screens. I remember I was at a women's conference, and Jess was in the room with me. We were sharing a room. I couldn't sleep. I had just all of these wonderful thoughts just running across my little brain. And Jesse said to me, Mom, blank screen. Make a blank screen. It's 1:30. We got to get up early. Blank screen. So I said, okay. So I zipped it and I didn't say anything. And there I was just trying to get a blank screen. And all of a sudden, there was a ball bouncing across my blank screen. And then there were little stick men running after the ball. And I said, Jess, there's a ball bouncing across my blank screen, and just there's men, and now there's all these stick women, and they're chasing the ball. See, I can't do that. Either can you. It takes a great effort for us to shut our brains down. That's why you can't just go take a nap. But that's also why you hear the cry before the husband does. That's also why you can be a room and you can hear some things, and you got a knowing in your knower that something's not right, and they don't have a clue. Why? Because God's wired us in a completely different way. To be helpers, companions, to be suitable lovers to the men in our lives so that they can stand face to face with us and we can know their hearts and we can help them with their hearts. I could go on and on. Time's not going to permit. So I'm just going to give you a couple of things about how to live savvy with the men in your life. Okay? Is that good? Has that helped anybody? How to be wise with the men in our world. Number one, we've got to communicate wisely. Communicate wisely. Men want headlines. They don't want details. They don't understand rabbit trails. We can track. We can go on rabbit trails and girlfriends. We can laugh. We can cry. We can be all over the place, and it all makes perfect sense when it all finally hits, right? But if there were men in here, they would be out of here in moments because they couldn't track that way. So when we're communicating with the men in our lives, whether it's our husbands or our fathers or our pastors or our bosses or or brothers or friends, remember, they want to get to the bottom line. They've got compartments. They are wired to hear, get the facts, formulate an idea, and solve it. That's how they are. Focus. Get to the bottom line as quickly as you can. If you're in the business world and you're in a meeting and you're in a board meeting or you're in some kind of meeting and men are in that meeting, listen, get to the bottom line. There cannot be any extraneous laughing, goofing off woman stuff because it drives men nuts. Why? Because they're compartmentalizing and they're wanting to get on to the next thing that they've got to do that day. So if we're going to be wise and savvy and have the respect of men, we're going to have to focus headlines, not details. The power of encouraging words in communication. Men were made by God to be a river in a very dry place, to be a covering from a tempest, to be a shadow of a great rock in a weary land, to be that cave that covers and protects and we can run to. God made them to be providers, protectors, heroes. Men are wired on the inside to be your hero, to be the hero in the house, to save you, to live an adventure. God wired them that way. They've got testosterone on the inside of them. We have estrogen, completely different hormones. That's why they butt heads. That's why they have contact sports. That's why they drive sports cars. That's why there is the NASCAR races. I mean, has anybody ever seen a NASCAR race? It's like zzzz. It's like, you gotta be kidding. They're not going anywhere. So, the power of encouraging words. It's very easy to focus on what's wrong because it's glaring at you. However, God has wired the man to need the support of the woman. God said, Adam, it's not good for you to do life alone. He brought Adam creation. Adam named creation. He saw that there was no suitable helper for him. So God said, now you get it, Adam. There's no counterpart for you on this planet. There's no one that can stand with you face to face, heart to heart, and understand you, and you understand them. There's no one like that, Adam. You're alone, and it's not good. So Adam, now I'm going to give you a gift. And that's when he took you and me out of man, formed us, put the curves on us, wired our brains a certain way, gave us the woman heart that we have so that we could actually hold the dreams of our men in our hearts and they could safely trust us. Therefore, when it comes to communication, focus, headlines, not details. If you need to talk to your husband about something, let him know, honey. I know that I'm emotional right now. I know, but I really, if you could just stop and if you could just talk to me right now. I don't need you to actually have solutions, although you may have a solution for this. I'm just hurting on the inside, and I need to just be able to talk to you, and you're my best friend. That alerts them that they've got to have their boxes up and ready. Okay? Let them know where you're at. They can't read our minds. They don't understand the spaghetti. Because they live in compartments. So, communication, the power of encouraging words. Every wrong thing that you see in your husband or your father or your sons or your friends, instead of focusing on those things and bringing that information to them, which they don't want to hear because they're wired for success and they feel like they failed, and then they'll go to that blank spot where they can relax and where they're not under stress and pressure, because we could actually put them in a box of failure with our words and our comments. Even though we don't mean to, that's what we do. That's why they shut off, they stop the conversation, they walk away, they yell, they get frustrated, because they're feeling like they are not being what they're supposed to be. They're failing because we've brought to them something we see wrong. Does your husband do that? My husband does that. So if I can learn this at 58, maybe I can have a better marriage. And I have a great marriage, but I want a better one. So whatever is wrong, take your focus off of that and take 100% of your focus on what is right. Now, you may look at your husband or your father or your brothers or the men in your life, and you may say, there's nothing right with them. No, that's not true. There was a woman, her husband didn't do anything. He just sat in his chair every day. She was given this information, and she said, there's nothing this man does that I can find good. She said, wait a minute. He sits in his chair all day long. He does nothing. But he's there. He's there. And she began to just say, every time he was in his chair, honey, I'm just so grateful you're here. Thank you for just being here. You haven't left, but you're here in my life. And she would just begin to just praise him for just always being there and being with her and not leaving and staying in her life. And do you know, after a while, that man started to change? And where he would never go to church with her, now he's in church with her, and now he's actually changed, and he's not sitting in his chair anymore, but he's becoming the man he's supposed to be. But it took a woman who holds her family in her hands to understand that we've got to get the focus off what's wrong, find something that's awesome and right, even if it's nothing more than he's there, and compliment him and praise him and adore him and admire him and respect him and esteem him and prize him, because he needs that. God put that in his heart, and he can't get it from anybody but you. You are the one that God anointed to speak into his life. So one more thing. How about number two? If we're going to love the men in our lives, and we're going to have to respect them completely. Listen, they're men. They're not women. We live in a world that is trying to make men women and women men. It is wrong. It is error. They are men. Treat them like men and they will be men. Your sons, treat them like men and they will become men. Your bosses, treat them with respect. They are men. They care about the tone in our voices. They care about the body language that we carry. They care about the looks and how we can roll our eyes. It bothers them. They see it as disrespect. You may be frustrated, but a man will see that as disrespect. Proverbs 14:1 in the Amplified says, every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish ones tear them down with their own hands. Listen. Ephesians 5:21 and 23 says, be subject to one another out of reverence for Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Wives, be subject, be submissive, and adapt yourselves to your own husbands as a service to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Now listen, he may not deserve respect. He may have been such a rascal, but if you're staying with him and you're believing this is what you're supposed to do, if you're married, God says you reverence them and you respect them. When they don't deserve it, it will turn their hearts to God. I cannot tell you enough how men need to be respected. Everything in this world is there to tear them down. Our sons, everything in this world. We don't live in a man's world. We don't know what the boys go through in the locker rooms. We don't know the pressure of the testosterone and their sexual drives, because we live in women's bodies. So it's very easy for us to be disgusted with the men instead of respecting that they're men. God's made them men. They need to be strong men, and they can't be strong men. Our sons cannot grow up to be strong men if the mothers don't understand. Let them be men. Respect them. Cause them to grow up like men, and they'll become men. So, girls, you would get with God. There's so much I don't have time to go into it. Number three, act like a woman. We're not living as men in a men's world. God made us women. And God doesn't want me to be a man. He wants me to be the best woman I can be. That's why I love Proverbs 31. That's why I live there. Because I am Jim's girl. I am your woman pastor in this church. I am your shepherdess, one of them. I'm the oldest one here. I'm a woman. I'm not going to give you the spiritual advice in a way that my husband would. But I believe that woman to woman, we understand. God says, let the older women teach the younger women to love their husbands, love their children, be discreet, be chaste, that the word of God not be blasphemed, and obey their own husbands. God didn't tell me to obey all the men in my world. He said, obey my husband. We're to honor each other and submit one to another in the fear of the Lord. So what does that mean to be a woman? Just a couple of thoughts. You okay with me? Your body is your gift to your husband. Belongs to him, his body belongs to you. If you're not taking care of it, girls, take care of it. Men do care about what we look like. If you need to go on a diet, go on a diet. Suck it up. We can do this. Satan is a liar. He's told you, you can't lose weight. You'll never change. That's a lie from the pit of hell. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit. You can get out. You can start exercising. You can start changing the way you're eating. And you can change the way your body feels. You can do that. Your heart holds his dream. You are the neck that turns the head. God says submit. Submit doesn't mean that I blindly obey sin, but it does mean that I go in the direction and the mission that my husband's going. That's what God's told me to do. Do I agree with it? No. Do I want to go there? No. We have a sailboat. Did I want that sailboat? Oh, heck no. Gave it the best fight I could. Till it was really, I was on the edge of sin with God. And Eleanor got a hold of me when I asked her, and she said, give it your best fight. If it's not working, then go ahead. He needs it. Good advice from a South African. Listen, I don't love sailing, but I love the man that sails. Has he always made the right decisions in our family? No. But that's where I stand in the gap and pray and believe God. Have I always made the right decisions in our family? Absolutely not. But that's where he prays for me. We give each other a lot of space, and it makes for a very, very good marriage. Your body belongs to him. Take care of yourself. Respect him. Earn their trust. Listen, girls, if we want men to respect us, we're going to have to earn it. We're going to have to earn it because this is how they look at us. Emotional, spaghetti. They don't have the emotions we have. They're wired differently. So they don't act that way. So they're trying to understand us when they're compartmentalized and we're touching everything. We're using both sides of the brain. They're not. One's not better than another, but it's very, very difficult for them to come into our world and understand how we feel and how we think. Therefore, I've got to go into his world because the man wasn't made for the woman. The woman was made for the man. God has anointed me to adapt to the men in my life. And I know that doesn't sit well with some of you, but we are living in a very rebellious age, in a very rebellious world. And just look at the fruit that the rebellion is bringing. Abortions are higher than they've ever been. There is a gender disconnect that has never been. There are girls now becoming lesbians in seventh grade. There are boys becoming homosexual. Listen, every kid can go through a sexual identity. That is not rare for girls to like girls and boys to like boys. You go through that, but in a healthy home, you go through it, and there is something on the inside of you that shows you the right way. Now, there are homes that don't have the Word of God any longer, so our kids are going straight into the mouth of the dragon. We have got to become women. We've got to show what women are supposed to be like. And God said, child, I formed you and I made you the way you are. Your spaghetti is for Jim. He needs spaghetti. He's a waffle. He doesn't need another waffle. He needs a plate of spaghetti in his life that'll connect him where he can't connect. My kids need the spaghetti. If they were waffles, they'd starve to death. Be a woman, but earn their respect. Don't freak out in front of them. If you're going to freak out with God. He can handle it. He understands your emotion chips. He knows PMS. He knows your periods. He knows everything. He can handle your freak out. Freak out to him. And he will comfort your woman heart. And then he'll send you and says, get up now, wipe your eyes. Come on, let's go. Let's be a little bit respectful now. I want to give you some savvy about the man in your life. And that man is going to see that he can tell you things and you're not going to fall apart on him. And now he can safely trust you with some of the things he really wants to tell you, but he's afraid. He's afraid because he knows what's going to happen with a plate of spaghetti. You know she's going to freak out. You know she's going to get mad. He knows she's not going to agree with what he did. He even knows he screwed up. He even knows he made the wrong decision. He even knows more than you know and more than you think. But he needs to feel that there's somebody in his life that loves him regardless of the screw-up and that can help him get where they're supposed to be. Gets on the same page, comes under his mission, prays with him, believes for him, and she holds him steady because the heart of her husband, it says in Proverbs 31, safely trusts in her, so he has no need of dishonest gain. He doesn't have to go off the wrong direction. He knows he can trust this woman. She's going to be stable. She's going to be fixed. She's savvy. She's a woman of faith. She's got a plate of spaghetti, and that spaghetti is delicious. Enough for today. I went too long. Listen, I want to say something to you. Celebrate you. You're a woman. You know, Krista, I have a word for you. You are not in the wrong season. You're in a season that God ordained because you're raising up sons and daughters for God that are going to do amazing things on the earth. There's no paycheck. There's no recognition. There's no pat on the back from anybody, but heaven has it all recorded. And what you're doing is far more important than any career, anything you could be doing right now. You chose the high road. And God wants you to know he's pleased and he's proud of you. He will give you grace for every day, young mom, because there is no one to pat you on the back. But heaven is applauding you. Heaven is applauding you. And you take a deep breath because it's hard work right now. But I promise it'll get easier. You're working hard right now when you're young, but when you get older, you're going to step back and you're going to say, wow, I'm so glad we did this because now we got our whole lives ahead of us and look at what's in front of us, okay? You young moms, you take a deep breath. You work hard. You work hard. You single moms, nobody sees you but heaven. But you applaud yourselves because you are raising up the next generation and God promises he will be your husband and he will be your covering. Celebrate the fact that you're girls, that you're women, that you're amazing creations made in the image of God. You're not stupid. Yes, we're emotional. Yes, our eyes leak. Yes, our eyes are connected with our hearts. But don't you think God knew that? Because our tears are a prayer to heaven at times. And the men don't have that ability, but we do. I want you to understand something with all my heart. I want you to hear my heart. You are amazing. You're not stupid. You're not second class. You're not the weaker vessel. You're not less than a man. You are woman. And you are beautiful at every season of your life and at every age. And regardless of what God's put in your life to do, he will give you the grace to do it and to do it as a woman of God and as a daughter of the King. So you just put your shoulders back a little bit, girls. You put your heads up. You're amazing. Yeah, we got a plate of spaghetti, but it's so good. We are a gift of femininity to the earth that God knew he needed to show the other side of him, and it was in this amazing daughter, and that's you. I love you.